So Miriam, this is where the magic happens.
James, you're absolutely right.
Hello, not too far to travel for this week's Rye Cast. As you know, I live at the top of Udamore Road in Rye, so it's a quick walk round the corner into Valley Park to meet Miriam McGurk. Now, I've met Miriam and her husband Chris quite a few times, but I've never been into their garden shed. Well, why would you? But I mention the shed because that's where Miriam writes. She's an author and a blogger, and no matter what the weather, she's out in the shed most mornings before the rest of the town has woken up. Her latest book is called Second Chances, much of it written here, but there's so much more to Miriam than her writing. As you'll hear, she's an amazing Irish accent, and I'm keen to know more about her own second chances too. Miriam, it's lovely to see you. We're in the garden shed.
A writing shack, as I like to call it, James.
Describe it for us.
I have to walk all of probably 12 steps from the kitchen or conservatory to the front door of the shack. It's made of wood. I thought it was insulated. It is not. So my favourite time of year of working here is summer. I have lots of crystals hanging from the windows and the door. The energy of a room is very important, and I like this energy. I have a view, which is wonderful. Back to the garden and the trees beyond the garden and the skyline, and that's important for me. In the lovely warm summer days, all the windows and doors are open and I hear birdsong. Now, when I start working in summertime, it's normally 5 a.m. so you get the dawn chorus. And I love that. I absolutely love that.
It is very special around here with the birdsong, because I know when I open the bedroom windows of a morning, the birdsong is particularly loud at this time of year. Yes. It is beautiful. But I noticed the crystals, you've just mentioned them. Why crystals?
I have been attracted to crystals for probably 30 plus years. I feel their energy. I have crystals in every room and I find them very, very healing. I'm very much into complementary medicine and I'm very much into natural healing and how much we can do for ourselves. So, you know, there's certain crystals I use, for example, the bedroom to help me sleep. Sometimes I have amethyst, which is supposed to help concentration and inspiration, which I'll have here by my desk. And I just feel it brings in the light. There's nothing better than if you're writing and suddenly the sun catches the light in the window and you just have these rainbow colours. And I just find that very uplifting.
The book's been out for about a month. We'll talk about what's in the book in a moment or two, because it has been written here, but also in many other places. What's the reaction been?
I've actually been blown away by the reviews both in the States and here, even Australia, even I think Holland. Yeah, it's really touched me. You never know. It's a bit like, you know, the kite that's been cut or the balloon and just let loose. You just don't know what's going to come back. Everyone has taken something from it. It's been heartwarming. Perhaps it's reached out to community, the opportunity of a second chance, the opportunity of lessons learned, of secrets revealed, of people not giving up hope, of believing that something better is out there. And of course, a lot of people have commented on, you know, the humour, the Irish humour. And I believe that's important, just to sprinkle it with.
And it's written not just in the shed and at the kitchen table, but in other places you've lived. Tell us where you've been.
In 2003, it was my second chance to turn my life around. With a leap of faith, we went and based ourselves in Turkey, southwest Turkey, up a mountain. Probably took about 3 years, and I was then able to turn my life around and become a full-time writer.
Talk about second chances and turning your life around.
Yeah.
What happened? Why did you need to turn your life around?
Yes, it's interesting. I don't normally talk about it, and it doesn't sit on my shoulder. My career's in my old life meant that I worked crazy, crazy hours, 600 miles an hour, and I'd burnt out several times, went through the green lights, the amber lights, and the red lights, and finally collapsed literally 6 months after my husband and I married. And it turned out that all those years of me struggling, finally diagnosed, but it was 20 years too late with ME, and then later on fibromyalgia. And that still lives with me. And life was not working because I kept hankering after the old life, the Western way of thinking. So what really helped me was moving to Turkey, Eastern culture, Eastern way, where they would say, no problem, problem yuck, no stress. And eventually what I started to do was to look at how the villagers lived and embracing the culture, embracing the language. And it's true, whatever they do, it's all very calm, easy, peaceful. And when I started to embrace that, along with my crystals and along with meditation and yoga, that's when everything changed. And I had to completely let go of my Western way of thinking or of how I thought I ought to do things. And I'm here to tell the tale.
What have you let go?
What have I let go? Constantly doing. And as I say to people, my father-in-law, who was a GP, used to say, we are human beings, not human doings. And I really have taken that on board. And what we have to do is believe that we can change and that we want to change and that we must never give up hope that life can be turned around and that we can have the kind of quality of life that we truly deserve. That's how we blossom. I put writing to the back burner for all those years. So the joy and the passion of being able to do that initially in Turkey, in Kent and now in Rye, I can't tell you.
What would you say to somebody who's also thinking something needs to change, I'm not sure I can? What would your advice be?
One step, followed by another, followed by another. And I would say, take those little steps. What do you want to change? Don't look at the bigger picture, because it's like the long, dark tunnel. Start with just little bite-sized pieces and take that one step. Write it down. And it doesn't matter how small that achievement is, that change is, one thing absolutely leads to another. And if you're not sure about what you want to change, but you know that you need to, life's not working, the fallout is not encouraging you to be happy, I would say is go walk in nature, go walk by the sea, go and do something that brings you joy.
Tough stuff though, isn't it? Always. How are you now?
Well, well, you know what? I manage it. And that was the one thing that I learned in Turkey. Prior to that, what happened was every time I saw a window of energy, I pushed through it and pushed and pushed and pushed because I kept going back and reverting back to how I used to work. But it didn't work. And so what I have now, James, is a very, very strict routine. How I get up in the morning, how I work, how I eat, clean living, high thinking. I have to rest every day between 3 and 6. My day may start early, but my day will finish at 3, unless it's an emergency. You know, it's really important because if I don't, then I pay the price.
You mentioned the Irish background and the Irish being amazing storytellers, and you have a fantastic accent and voice.
Oh, bless you.
Tell us about growing up in Ireland.
Growing up in Ireland, oh my goodness me. Okay, it was very strict, very, very strict, almost Victorian. My mother from Cork, Kinsale County Cork, Kinsale, now Literary Festival, haven't been invited yet, and my father from Dublin. So I consider myself half Cork, half Dublin. And actually being in Rye reminds me of Kinsale. Combat educated, Catholic background, and I was a little bit of a rebel. And when I hit 15, I thought, that's it. That is it. I'm doing my own thing. And you can imagine that did not go down well. And oh, James, I must show you. I actually found a few weeks ago, my sister sent me a little while ago, a report from Mother Joseph at the Presentation Convent. And she said, a student of average ability. And it's a handwritten tiny little note. And I thought, yeah. I mean, that was just hilarious.
Well, you say it's hilarious now.
I do.
But back in the day, it must be horrible.
I know. There was no career guidance. I was a good student, but sport, I love sport, and I had a creativeness, but that was never recognised.
How do you look back at those times? Are you angry? Regrets? What?
I'm not angry. I mean, I was probably angry for now. I just laugh. You know what saved me? Every summer, from the time I was a little tot, on the 1st of June, I would be on a train from Dublin with my siblings to Cork, to Kinsale. And we stayed for 3 months. We swam all day long. Freedom. I never had that freedom in Dublin. My grandmother trusted us. She said, it's holidays now, whatever you girls want to do. And then the evenings we would walk out. And I actually think that spurred me on. You talk about people changing. And I think even as a young, you know, a 9-year-old, I questioned everything and I was called cheeky, but I wasn't. I just wanted to know. I was curious. I think it took me a long time to realise, actually, it's okay to be Miriam. It's okay to step into your light. You don't have to pull back to how you were brought up. And there probably was anger there because I just didn't understand how I could change, I suppose, way back then.
So let's talk about Rye.
Okay.
Slightly similar to Kinsale, where you went for summer holidays with your grandmother.
Yeah.
What do you like about Rye?
My heart is here. I'm home. Even though when I went to Turkey, don't get me wrong, it's a little part of my heart will always be there because that was when everything started to move. But coming to Rye, it ticks so many boxes. Just being surrounded by the sea, the smell of the sea, the seaweed. Oh my goodness, you know, the seagulls. And even though we're up here, I can hear the seagulls. And a lot of people say, oh, you are very close to the sea. The sea for me, it doesn't matter where I am in Rye, whether I'm walking along the harbour or Pet Level or further down the coast. When I hear the sound of those lapping waves, I call it my happy place and it's the healing sea. And that's my therapy. And every time I would come back from Turkey, we would come to Rye and spend time in Rye. We'd come and have brunch or breakfast or lunch. And I just find people are very creative. They're very open and they want to hear your story. And Kinsale for me was that hugely creative place. Now, I haven't been back there for a long, long time, even more now, I'm sure, than ever. It is a hugely creative place. And even stories, everyone has a backstory. And I love hearing people's backstory. The climate even here, it's a microclimate. It's almost like its own little community here. It's almost like its own little county, you know. I love its energy. I love its energy.
And you go in the sea, you swim.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Always in the sea. But it was only about 3 years ago was my first time ever to swim in the English Channel and to swim in the sea. In the past, I would swim, I mean, in Ireland years ago, of course, the water, we didn't care. But sea swimming for me and swimming underwater. I'll either come back as a dolphin or maybe a mermaid. I just love sea swimming. But since we've been back here, I mean, I will swim. Not this year, but normally from May maybe till October. My friends and family think my husband even thinks I'm crazy. And I get him to stand at the edge and he runs away. Then I'm trying to get out of the water. Yeah, I love sea swimming. And that's where my inspiration comes as well, by the sea.
I love swimming in the sea too. Yeah. Certainly when it's a bit warmer. Mm. But at the moment, you know, real worries about actually what's in the sea. You know, the Rother is one of the most polluted rivers in Sussex. And you do worry what you're swimming in.
And actually, that's probably one of the reasons I haven't been swimming yet. And funny enough, about the last bank holiday, we walked along Pet Level, which I love. And when the tide is in, it's lovely to swim down at that very far end, that cove. And the tide was going out and I could not believe the pools of sewage. And it's really put me off. Where do I go? You know, I don't know. I haven't been to Broomhill recently, but maybe I shall have a little try at Broomhill because I miss swimming. And even when we go away, I just want to go further down the coast. I don't want to be inland. There's something for me, I don't know whether it was in another life or my childhood, was outdoors by the sea. When we lived in Turkey, get up early in the morning, write, lock up the office at 11 o'clock, especially in the really hot summer season, 40 degrees, 9 kilometres, I was at this traditional beach, no tide. And just the lapping waves, just me and the sea. I don't need anything else. And that gives me, as I said, my inspiration. It also energizes me. It really, really does. So Rye has all of those pluses.
The book is Second Chances.
Yes.
Do you want to give us a hard sell?
A hard sell? Me? A hard sell. Okay. Second Chances is a touching tale that takes us on a journey from India to Kent, East Sussex, and other parts of the UK. I would say that it's a poignant, multi-generational tale of connection and community. And community is really, really important, I believe now. And I would say that it showcases the unbreakable spirit of hope and that what can happen when we take that leap of faith.
Are you writing another one?
As it happens, James, I, for the last year, have been writing a collection of short stories. I started out with poetry and short stories, and this is my first novel. It could be developed. There could be a couple of the characters there that could be developed into a novel. But I'm probably halfway through a collection of short stories, and it's a whole mishmash of stories from different countries. Yes, Rye. Sometimes I change the names, you know, because, yes, the responsibility is mine if I didn't quite get it right. But, you know, I want to carry on writing. A few of my lovely reviewers and early reviewers have said, is this a series? Oh, I'd like to hear more about what, such and such a character, whatever. And what I've done is, in terms of the paperback, the hardback, and the large print, my gift to my wonderful loyal readers and audience is I've actually written a bonus story. And that is one character that quite a few, I'm not going to say who, that is one character quite a few of my reviewers have mentioned. Oh, what about? And I believe in Happy Ever Afters, HEAs. But there's one character who maybe hasn't had quite her HEA yet.
So beautiful summer mornings when the sun is out.
Yes.
It's a beautiful day in Rye.
Yeah.
Who should be thinking of you in the shed?
Yes,
writing.
In my shack, in the shed, absolutely writing, inspired to write, and then go walk about. And you know, one of the other things I absolutely love, when I take a break around 11, half 11, is stick on my trainers and I go down across the green, the park, over the bridge, the railway bridge. Watch the, maybe sometimes the train pass by, go straight down where the harbour is, cross over. And I love walking through the town, all around the town, the back streets, because every time I go, there's a cobble street, there's a building, there's a piece of architecture, or there's someone that catches my attention. So that is always my refreshing and recharging. And then it means I can come back to the page for another hour and I'm fresh. It's wonderful.
Miriam, it's been lovely talking to you.
It's been an absolute pleasure, James.
And the book is called Second Chances. It's by Miriam McGurk. There's a link on ryecast.org with details of how you can get hold of a copy. That's more about Miriam. Huge thanks to her for her time. Another fascinating local with a story to tell, which is, of course, what Ryecast is all about. It's Ryecast Sussex on social media. Until next time, goodbye.